Amen. That was good. That's out of the norm for her. She doesn't do that. But man, that was good. She talked about me for a little bit. You know, I do remember those times when we were chasing one another around the church, playing hide and go seek as kids. And I tell you though, we in church together as we were dating, and I remember one time she was testifying and she moved out into the aisle, and I thought, oh, what's she doing? You know, she started preaching a little bit as she was testifying. I said, man, this is good. I said, this is the kind of woman I want to take home and, you know, talk about Proverbs here. You know, the man that finds a wife finds a good thing, you know. But I was very thankful for my wife. You know, I'm very thankful for the things that we have been able to experience together, and all that God is doing, and just in people in general. I believe there is a hunger like never before for people. They're tired of the things of life and the way things are going, and we know that Jesus is getting ready to return. We know that. The Scripture tells us that, and the Bible says that God is not a man that he would lie, and his word definitely does not lie. And so we want to just talk about the love of Jesus everywhere we go, whatever we're doing, and just let people know there's a better way. You don't have to live in the lows of life and the things that are going on and whatever that you may be trapped in. You don't have to live there. There's a better way. And that way is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? The way, the truth, and the life. I'm so thankful to be here today. Thankful to be at Unity Worship Center. I love you, Bishop Lyons, Miriam Lyons. We love you guys so much. And I'll just say this. From the first time that I met Pastor Lyons, we were doing CAMS together, going through the ministerial process in the Church of God. And, man, I sat down and talked to him. I think it, where was it, Long John Silver's or Kingfish, one of those places. He was eating some fish, you know. But, man, we sat down and talked, and I hear his testimony. I'm thinking, I've got to know more about this man. And so I'm just thankful for our friendship, and I don't know how many years that's been. I can't, you know, you lose track after a while. I shouldn't even talk that way. But man, it's been good just knowing them and talking to them and building friendships with them. And just all that we've talked about, even during those personal times, you know, together. And he's a good friend. I mean, you got a good pastor here, pastor's wife. You've got great people of God over this church and leaders here. I do thank God what he's doing through them and what he's doing in this church. Just want to say this is the anniversary of Unity Worship Center. So happy anniversary to you. Amen. Happy anniversary. I don't know if do you want this? I don't know if it's going to make a difference up here, but praise God. I want to get into the word tonight. I don't want to be long. Don't know how long Bishop Lyon preaches, but I try to tell people I'm not going to be. I think that's the favorite saying of every preacher. You know, we say, we ain't going to be long with you, but it winds up you going a little bit longer than what we thought. But I'm not going to lie to you. I just want to spread and just preach God's word tonight and just give you what he's put on my heart. And so we're going to come from the book of Joshua, chapter 4 tonight, verses 1 through 7. We're going to talk about looking back but living forward. This is what God's put on my heart tonight. I might get too close to this thing. I might have to come down. I don't know, but y'all adjust me. I get kind of loud, a little crazy. You know, I may run a little sweat off of my brow, but I'm just want to mind the Lord, you know. But let's read there. Book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Then we'll go to verses 22 through 24. It says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, and out of every tribe of man, and command command them, saying, take you up out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you carry them over with you and leave them in a lodging place where you would lodge there this night. And then it said, and then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel and out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God and in the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And verse 6 says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what does these stones mean? Then you will answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones will be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let's look at verses 22 through 24. And then you will let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Verse 24, and that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for these people. We thank you, God, for Unity Worship Center and what you've done, what you're going to do, and the word of God that's going to go forth tonight. Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, that you help me to speak no more and no less than what you've put upon my lips and my heart to speak. Lord, let it be edifying, God, for the church, and uplifting, God, that you would receive all glory. Bless, God, the man of the house, the woman of the house tonight. And God, I pray, Father, that your will would be revealed and done in this place. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching a simple message about looking back but living forward. This marks the second time, as we've seen here in these verses, that the Lord made a way for the Israelites to cross over a body of water onto the other side. The first time it was the Red Sea that was in their way, and when they came out of Egypt, God provided a way where he dried up the Red Sea, as we see, and they walked over. And what a great miracle that was. How awesome today. If you look back in some of the archaeologists and what they say, they actually have found chariot wheels and even horse hooves underneath the Red Sea. So there's no denying that miracle actually happened. We can look back and we can see the hand of God and what he done, how mighty he was. And so the second time, which would not be the last time, that the power of God would move for the children of Israel. How many can attest today that God didn't move just once, but twice, but three, but four, and how many times God has moved for you? Amen. How many times the hand of God has been upon you and moved in situations where it seemed like it was impossible that it was going to work out in your life? But God, when he had his way, amen, and we got out of the way and let God move in our life, amen. How many know that that's what God does, amen? God, when we get out of the way and we let God just have his way, he can work miracles and do things in our life that we never thought was possible. Praise God. God commissioned Joshua, and he said to these 12 men, he said, take up 12 stones and go over the Jordan on the river on the other side. It was for it to be a sign unto them, a sign for the glory of God and how mighty God was. the ultimate result of what God was going to do here was not only because of his greatness, but it was also to show and make a people be in awe and worship him. It was to show also the future blessings that he had in store for them. I mean, a generation to come after them, that God would be glorified in all that he was doing. Amen. How many knows that when we obey God, we have other people around us seeing what God is doing? We've got little eyes that are watching us. We got a generation that's here that are watching us, and they see the things that even when we feel like it's not going to work out, when we activate our faith, when we believe the Word of God, when we stand on the Word of God, when we stand on the promises that He has told us. How many knows that God is not a liar? Amen. God, what He said, He will do. What He has done, He will do, and He will continue to do. But all he's looking for is someone just to believe about his word, just to step out on faith, amen, and say, I know it looks bad. I know, man, it looks like it's a terrible thing. It may be that I'm going through a mess right now, but if I just stand firm on what God has said, amen, but if I just believe him at his word, if I just step out, amen, and let God be God in my life, amen, if I just step out and say, God, I know that you can, it looks a mess right now. I don't understand it. It's got turmoil in my mind, but God, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe it when I can't see it, even when I don't feel it. Amen. God instructed them. He said, bring up stones out of the Jordan. It was to serve as markers and reminders of what he had done for them and what he was going to do. How many knows we need to be reminded of what God has done? Huh? We need to be reminded of what God has done. How many remember the day the Lord saved you? Oh, that's some of you. How many remember when God saved you and brought you up out of a miry mess that you was in? How many remember the day when you knelt down, when you gave your, whether you knelt down, stood up, whatever it was, maybe you're in your car, amen, the Lord just come upon you, amen, and you realized that you needed Jesus, and you experienced the love of God, and he came in and he just rocked your world. He messed you up, amen, but he saved you. How many remember that day? Oh, what a glorious day. What a great day that was. Amen. Man, I was talking to someone the other day, actually our mayor there in Shepherdsville. It's a wonderful thing when you talk to a mayor and he talks about his salvation and his experience with the Lord. And he said he was going down the road. He said, man, I thought I knew Jesus. He said, I thought I knew Jesus. And one day he's going down the road, and the Lord just convicted him, and he pulled over onto the side of the road and got out and just started weeping and started asking God to forgive him. And that's when Jesus really truly revealed himself to him, and he wonderfully saved him. He said, I thought I knew Jesus. How many, see, there's a world out there, they know of Jesus, but really do they know him? Paul said, oh, that I would know him in the power of his resurrection. There's a difference in knowing who Jesus is and really knowing him. I mean, really not having an intimate relationship, that when you're down in some places in life where you can't fix it, come on now, you can't put your hands on it and actually tangibly fix it. And when you get in those places in life where you need an intimacy in prayer, when you call upon your Father and you know that he's going to work it out, because he's working on the inside and he's doing something in you, and what he's done before, he's going to continue to do in your life. So the memorial was to serve as a lasting sign of God's work among the Israelites. How many of God know that God is continuing to work in our life? If we'll trust him and we'll put our life in his hands, he'll continue to work it out. He'll continue to work, even when you don't think so. When your physical eyes can't see it and your mind tells you no. I'm telling you, there's a God that says by faith what he's promised is going to come to pass. The Bible tells me that all the promises of God are yes and amen.
in. That means it tells me that when Jeremiah spoke about it and he says, for God knows that the plans that he has for you, they're good and they're not evil to give us an expected end. Honey, I don't care what you're going through tonight, but I do know there's a Father in heaven who knows, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he knows what you're going through, and he's going to make a way out of the desert. He's going to make a way out of your Egypt. He's going to bring you to a higher place. He's going to bring you through your breakthrough. He's going to give you what you need. Honey, he's going to give you provision when you need it. He's going to give you what you need. He said, I'll give you the riches of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad God said it. Therefore, I'm going to believe it. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Psalm 77:11 says, I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember his wonders. Let me read it again. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders. Has God did anything wonderful for you? Oh, thank you, Jesus. If he hadn't right now, he's getting ready to. Come on, just believe it. That's what faith is, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, I'm glad I can believe it by faith. Faith, though, is an action word. And you've got to believe beyond the circumstance. You've got to believe beyond what you see. You've got to step out on nothing but believe that God's going to provide it when you step. I said when you step, that first step, when you make that first step, God's going to provide stones. He's going to provide memorials for you that when you get on the other side of what you're going through, and you're going to step up and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would have failed. My enemy would have swallowed me up. My God. Oh, does anybody know what I'm talking about in this place? If it had not been for God, I'd have been lost on my way to hell. I'd have been in that mess out there. I'd have been long gone. I'd have done took a trip in a place called a funeral home. But God stepped in, and I'm thankful that I let him step in. I'm thankful that when I took the leap of faith, when I put my foot forward, he met me right there. I said he met me right there and right then. Oh, I'm thankful. That's just how good our God is. I'm going to remember his works. I'm going to remember his wonders. Amen. I'm going to remember. Don't let the devil take it away. The Bible tells us, do you remember the days when you were first illuminated? Yeah, that's the word. Illuminate. He lit me up one day. I said the glory of God, our risen Savior, he lit me up. I said, is there anybody that he lit up in this room? Maybe there's a world up there lighting up a bunch of stuff out there. But I'm glad I let the Lord light me up one day. Well, I ain't never been the same since. Oh, when the Holy Ghost of heaven got a hold of me, it lit me up on the inside. I want to tell the world about what he's done for me. The memory of what God had done was ever etched in their minds. It showed God's glory. It showed his presence. It showed God's strength. It was a memory of his empowerment to take them to the possession of their land that he had promised them in days ahead. The promised land of Canaan. God's got promises for us. God's got provision. God's got plans for you. For this church, for Unity Worship Center. He's always had plans. And sometimes he's got to put the puzzle together, so to speak. He's got to line up things. See, a lot of times we're not waiting on God. He's just waiting on us. He's just waiting on us. And sometimes some want to sit back and just let God. But he's saying, just move forward and believe me, because look what I've done. And while you're looking at what I've done, live on forward. Amen. Live on forward. I would say today that there's people here in this house, here at Unity Worship Center, that remember what God has done in the last 7 years. All the blessings, the provision, all the faithfulness that God has been. All what he's done for you, what he's continued to do for you. When the devil thought that he messed up some plans, he didn't mess up nothing. God knew it all along. I like what Jesus said. Amen. The man, somebody help me, not Pharaoh, Potiphar, Pilate. He said to Pilate, he said that Pilate told him, said, "Do you know that I can have you crucified?" And they're going to crucify. He said, "Listen, Jesus said this, you have no more power than what my God, my Father says you can have." How many know today, it doesn't matter what really happens. God is still in control. He's still sovereign. He's still sitting on the throne. Amen. There might have been some crazy things happen in your life, but God is still ultimately in control, and he knows what it takes to get us to where we need to be, because we can look back and we can see that if he was faithful back there, if he did it back there, he's going to do it right now, right where you're at in the present, and he's going to continue to take you on. The hand of God moving on his people. Amen. Lives being transformed. How many can look back and see, you can see the lives that have been transformed here at Unity Worship Center. Come on, somebody praise God for that. Come on, praise him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we thank you, Lord, for the lives that have been transformed in this house. They were spiritual markers, like stones, milestones, so to speak. You brought these stones with you over the past 7 years as a reminder of what God has done. It's more like a precursor to the promise of what is to come. Huh. Somebody needs to get a hold of that. Somebody back there did. Somebody else needs to get a hold of it. It's a precursor of what is to come. These stones that you've carried up out of the impossibilities of life. These stones that you've carried with you through the troubles of the sea and the river when they looked like it wasn't going to work. These things that you brought with you, your faith and the prayers of the righteous, and those times when you wept and the tears that you shed, the nights when you were just in your head, it seemed like it was going to explode because you didn't know how it was going to work out. God said, you brought these stones with you, and it's a precursor, a promise of what is to come. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You see, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. There's been some trials and there's been some valleys. There's been some situations. But even in the Red Sea, when it feel like that you didn't think you was going to be able to cross over, I like what he told Moses. What's that in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your capability of doing, Moses? Amen. We can ask ourselves that today. What is in our power? What is in our hand? What are we capable of doing for our Lord? And everything that he's done already, and the way that he made for us. What can we do? What has he done for us that we can use now for him? See, the spiritual markers through these trials, through these testings, brought about a but God moment for us, for you. A but God. If it had not been but God, I'd have lost my mind, lost my job. I'd have just tossed in the flag, amen. Threw down my gloves and walked out of the corner. But God, thank you, Jesus. You walked through the water. You've walked through the floods. You didn't drown. You've been through the fire, and it didn't consume you. It didn't take you out. Woo! Hallelujah. Boy, you can go everywhere with that. I mean, three Hebrew children, amen. Come on now. Amen. They went through a flame, didn't they? Now, they went through a fiery furnace, but they came out, didn't even smell like smoke. Woo! Hallelujah. My God, that's just the way He does. Because, see, He likes working with faithful people that says, I don't have a lot, but I've got my God. And that's enough. I don't have it all, but I'm just willing to use what I got. You see, God can do a lot with the little that we have. When we step out in faith and say, God, here I am, use me. I hear from you, God, and I just want you to use me. Hallelujah. There may be things that you even wish maybe that you could have forgot about. Maybe things that you could have done without happening in your life. But really those things caused a deeper, more pronounced blessing on you and moved you ahead and moved the church ahead. You may say, well, I don't know how. But listen, God works not on our time. God works, the Bible says, in mysterious ways. Amen. I remember when we came into our church, we had 10 people and 5 were children. And I seen the hand of God move, and if it was not for God, we would not be where we're at today. But thank God for what He's doing there. We see families coming in. We've seen God move and people saved, people baptized, people filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm nobody. I like what I heard one overseer say. He said, I'm a nobody from nowhere, but I know somebody. Amen. And that's exactly how I feel. And you know, I think that's how a child of God needs to see things, because we can't make things happen the way we want them to happen sometimes. But when we realize that God has a plan and we take our hands off of it, He's starting to work. He's going to work in ways we could not have. Amen. Even in moments where it seemed like it was difficult to live through, God still gave you peace of mind. I'm glad that He guards our minds. He gives us perfect peace. And the Bible says, peace that passes all understanding. I mean, there's some hard things that we go through in this life, but they're just temporary. Heaven and earth will pass away. There'll be no tears in heaven. All things will be new. I'm looking forward to a kind of day like that where there's all these troubles and trials. But these troubles and trials bring us to a place where we still can live forward as we look back. These stones, they're reminders of, should be a reason to praise and worship our God. When we talk about worshiping our Father, I thought about this verse. And all that He's done for us when we look back. Psalms 47:1 says, clap your hands, O ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That's why it's important to lift our voice to God when we worship Him. Because, see, here's what happens is and the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So if we believe the Word of God and it's saying that, we also have to believe that when we voice out our praise, when we clap our hands, when we make a sound of the voice of triumph, it makes our enemy quake. I mean, the enemy does not like that. And I don't know about you, but I love making the devil mad. I love it. Smith Wigglesworth one time, I don't know if y'all know who he was, an evangelist back in the 1800s. I heard him say something. He left a meeting one time, and he goes home, and he heard that when he got in the bed, he'd always get in the bed. He never take a shower. He was wringing wet, and when he'd go home, he never took a shower, but he laid down in his bed, and it was like oil tracks, they say, in his bed, but the anointing would fall off of him. He'd just be all over his bed. But that's the way he'd go, but I know that. I'll move past that part. But anyways, but he laid down in the bed and went to sleep one night. He said he heard the door open to his room. And it sounded like somebody walked in, which that's what it sounded like. And then he looked and he said he raised up in the bed. He said, "Oh, devil, that's you." And he laid back down and went to sleep. Amen. Isn't that awesome that you can be so full of the power of God and remember what he's done? And remember what he's done for you and still live forward in the power that he's put in you. Amen. Amen. That's good. Amen. We can live that way. The same God that did it back then is the same God that's doing it today. Amen. A lot of times we want to look back and say, well, wow, I'm wondering about them old glory years. Amen. But God's doing a new thing today. Right now at Unity Worship Center in this time, for such a time as this, God is moving and he's wanting to use you. He's wanting to move in your life and he's wanting to do great things to you, great and mighty things that we know not. He's wanting to show that through his people. The scripture doesn't tell us if these men that God chose of the tribes of Israel, how they stacked these stones. Or if they just really just placed them wherever they wanted to. But I'm just a believer that maybe they placed these stones in a visible area for their enemy to see the victorious power of God. Think about it. I mean, I don't think they just picked up a little pebble or a little rock and just carried it over and said, here's my part. Here's my part. Lord, you see, here's my little part. Amen. I don't think it was like that. I think that because of the way that God made for them, I think that it was just like that. That they picked up whatever they could just to be visible for their enemy. And then it would not only for a generation to come that they would see what these stones were, but how many knows after a while the land settles? The land will settle and erosions and things like that happen and land expands. It had to be that they made it visible for not only a generation to come to say, look what God did, but for their enemy to say, man, these people mean business. Amen. Is there anybody in the house of unity here that would say, I mean business. Amen. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm going to stand up and believe my God because I can remember what he done, but I'm going to live forward for what he's going to do now. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to believe it past what I can see and what's going on in right now today. But I'm going to believe it for it to happen. You see, when I think back about some people in the Bible, I think about the lame man. I think about how, you know, I got to thinking about this. Why did Jesus say to the lame man that laid at Bethesda's pool, take up your bed and walk? Why didn't he tell him to throw his bed away? I'll tell you why. Because it was for God's glory that they could see a man that laid there for so many years in the condition that he was. When he said, take up your bed and walk, he was to walk right out of there. And everybody that knew the person that he was and everything that he went through in life, they seen the glory of God by what he was carrying around with him. And I want to tell somebody tonight, I don't know what you got going on. I don't know what's happened to you, but God does. And it doesn't matter what nobody says, but when you know what God's done for you and you know how, see, a lot of people don't understand your praise. A lot of people don't understand where you came from and what God did for you, honey. They want to say all kinds of crazy things, but you don't know what my God did for me. You don't know the mess that he took me out of. You don't know my freedom and what he took to where I'm at to get to where I'm at today. But honey, I can look back and thank my God and just step on over into the promises that he's got for me. Woo, hallelujah. My God, somebody give the Lord praise in this place and thank him. Amen. You don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of my worship. That woman broke up in the alabaster box and they thought she done went loony. They thought, man, God, why are you wasting that? I ain't here to waste my praise. I'm here to I remember, Pastor Lyons, I remember what he done for me. I'm glad, I'm thankful that he took me out of a mess. He didn't have to. I could have died there. I could have gone on to hell. But my God saved me and made a way. Hallelujah. Woo! Look at Jacob walking with a limp. Jacob walking with a limp. Hey man, the devil thought, well, look at you done been right in there in that place with God. He didn't do you any good. You thought he did. You wasted all that time in prayer and said you weren't going to give up until you were changed. Honey, that was his change, because it was the glory of God. Amen. When God touches you, you're going to walk different, talk different. You're going to be different. And there's a world out there that needs to see it. I'm glad he touched me one day. I ain't never been the same. I walk with a Holy Ghost limp. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm different. Hallelujah. My Lord. My Lord. Woo! I'm thankful that when I walked out of that place where I was, God walked in. Hey, I'm glad. It didn't matter what they said. I just know what he did for me, and that was good enough. I know there's some people in this house. You're so thankful for what God did for you. Amen. You can look back and you can just see how good God was. Amen. And it just drives you to a place that you just got to give him your all and go all in for Jesus. You ain't maybe got a lot to offer, but man, when the Holy Ghost of heaven, he pours down on you, hallelujah, there's something. I said there's something that happens. The Bible says that he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. Woo! When I was in the world, I gave the devil all kinds of energy and things. I'd stay out late at night in the bars, running around, acting crazy, smoking, drinking, just messing up my life. My mom and daddy raised me in the church. I said, my mom and daddy raised me in the church. I knew what was right, but I was so full of the devil, I didn't care who I hurt. I didn't care how it happened. I was just in it for me. I just wanted to please my flesh and what made me feel good. But I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful that he still loved me, still gave me time to repent and to come to where he was. He didn't have to, but man, when I look back and think about how it could have been, but now I look at where I am. I'm not where I want to be, honey, but I'm not where I was. Is anybody glad that you're not where you was? Whew. My Lord. You see, maybe they stacked up these stones and they used them as steps to travel forward toward the land that God said that he promised them. Stepping stones. Stepping stones. Maybe each step they placed their feet one path on a path in a direction of a more higher and victorious place where they could look above. I'm glad the Bible says that those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. Those that wait on the Lord. See, waiting's hard. I hate waiting on trains. I hate waiting on a lot of things. You know, everybody hates waiting sometimes. You know, certain things just cook your grits. You know, they just gets to you. But nevertheless, there's some things spiritually even in our life we hate waiting on. But I'm so glad that when we wait, God makes it worth our while. Because then we can look back and say, you know what? If I would have moved before God said, it would have been bad. Is anybody, come on now, has anybody ever been through, I don't believe in deja vu, but I sometimes in my life, I think, you know, God, I just got done. I'm driving home from work and I'm going down the road. And sometimes, usually I take that same road going home. But see, what happens is for some reason I forget to get off at the ramp and I just keep going. And then I find out later on, the same time that I could have been going down the road, I always went through. That there was a major wreck and something could have happened and it could have took my life. I could have been in that wreck. How do you know? How many know that the same thing happens even in our life? That sometimes because we're not willing to wait and go the direction that God and the path that He has for us, and sometimes we mess up some things and it could be critical for us. But how many thankful that you can say, I waited on God. Here I am. I'm going to enjoy the promises that He has for us. My God, it could have been bad. Man. But I trust Him. I trust Him because I've looked back and I've seen if it had not been. And I'm going to live forward because I trust Him. And the same God that did it then, He's going to keep on doing it in my life. And see, with every crazy place I've ever been, every messed up place where it seemed like I never get out of it, He was building my faith. When it didn't work out like I wanted to, He was building my faith during the waiting moment. During the, you know, when you're texting somebody and it's dot, 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 and you're waiting for them to reply. Anybody, I hate that kind of waiting too. What are they going to say? You're anticipating. What are they going to say? Is it going to be good? Is it not going to be good? Somebody else going to complain? But the dot, 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 dot gets us. But we trust in the dot, dot. That God's working it out for our good. How many knows the Bible says that He works all things. See, that all in there, if you underline that in your mind, it's all things, even the bad things. We think about, well, it's just the good things. It's not just the good things that works out for the good of those who love and serve Him, but it's the bad things, the things that don't make sense, the things that were hard, the things you had to cross over in life, and you didn't know how that was going to happen, but it was during those times. All things. So you're looking back at catapults us forward, readjusts our vision. It reveals God's faithfulness. It fine-tunes our memory. It strengthens our heart in the great things to come. It strengthens us. So the road that Unity Worship Center has been on these past 7 years, it's led you to where you're at right now today. Ups and downs. Over the hills and through the valleys. It was paved. The road was paved for a reason. It was God's specific plan for this church, for this community, for the members, for the individuals of this church. You're here for a reason. You're here to bring glory to God in the community that your church is in. There's a community that needs Jesus. I'm sure you hear that from your pastor, but man, can you imagine how many people still need to know the love of Jesus, even just out here? I know I said this before, but man, you've got a great man of God and a great woman of God leading this church. You do. Unity Worship Center is blessed to have a leader like him. I was just thinking about him on the way in and getting to go into his office, how inspirational just being in his office was. Just to be able to preach in in the greatness of one who is not only a bishop, but also an author. But nobody knows what he had to get through to be where he's at today. My, my God. And I think each one of us could say that. Each one of us in here, you don't know the hell that you went through. Or somebody else don't know the hell that you went through to get to where you're at. But that's what helps us to keep going, because we know how good God has been to us and how good he's going to continue to be to you. I believe if you continue to press on with your pastors here in the church and what God's got for you, I believe that what God is doing, he's going to continue to do, and he's going to just double and triple the blessings. I believe that with all my heart, because you've got good people here. You've got good people that are willing to see God move. You got the heart of God. I ran across this quote, though, that goes like this. It says, the past is like using your rearview mirror in your car. It's good to glance back in the mirror but to see how far you've come, but if you stare at it too long, you'll miss what's right in front of you. And you know, that's just like our lives. We can stare too long back there. We can remember how good God's been because God was back there, but he's also here. We're living forward in what he's doing now. See, it makes a big difference in how much time you spend looking forward and just as much time, how much time you spend looking backwards. Of course it's good. Be thankful for the memories that you've got. Of course that's good, but you see how good God's been. But it's hard to trust God in what you see through the windshield of your future if you're spending a lot of time looking through the rearview mirror. There was a story that I ran across. I'm going to end with this tonight. It says that there was a man here as a farmer in Kentucky, actually, and there was a storm that blew through an orchard field that he had. The wind blew over a pear tree that he had and that had been there for so long as anybody could remember. This pear tree was there. It was just, I guess, like a landmark almost. The farmer was so sad to lose a tree that he had grew up and climbed up in, and he had ate of the fruit for so many days when he was little. And then there was a neighbor that came by and said, sir, I'm really sorry that your pear tree had blown down. And the farmer said, I'm sorry too. It was a real part of my past. And then he says, well, what are you going to do? And the farmer said, he paused for a moment. He says, well, I'm going to pick through the fruit and I'm going to burn what's left. And see, here's the thing. You know, we're not saying tonight to burn the past, because it's a good to remember some of those things. Some of the things we do want to have to burn. It's kind of like Elijah when he was speaking to Elisha, and he says, get rid of your plow and to sell your cow. Sometimes you got to burn the plow, kill the cow, and you got to move on towards the future of what God's got for you. Sometimes you got to get rid of some things in your past, and you got to keep them there and never go back. But the great thing is I think that when we look at this story and we talk about what we're talking about tonight, there's a great deal of things, of many things in our past, and that we should learn from the lessons of the past and the good times that we've had and the things that God has done, and that we should use them to propel us into our future. It reminds me of what God did in chapter 5, in the next chapter of Joshua. When Joshua and the Israelites had really crossed over the Jordan, they were camping beside of Jericho. And it says that they waited for God to bring them on into the promised land of Canaan. And then it goes on to say that they did not eat any more of the manna and the corn, but now he brought them to eat of the fruit of the land. And see, God will change even our appetites. And if you got more of a hunger and thirst for God in this now season, and 7 years later of what God has done, he's going to blow your mind what he does in the next seven, and on and on and on. Because there's a hunger, that God wants us to have. That we can look back and live forward. Amen.